Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here on 560 WQAM, streaming all over the damn internet. WQAM.com on your computer or on your smartphone, the radio.com app, however you listen. We appreciate your patronage here tonight. It's funny, I just, during the commercial break, I logged on to Instagram. First thing I see, Colby Covington at the Marlins game wearing his championship belt. I don't know if he threw out the first pitch or not, but I would imagine so. Like, he's there with his UFC title belt on at the Marlins Giants game tonight. So Colby Covington, I think he threw out the first pitch tonight. Regardless, he's doing a promotional appearance out there at Marlins Park. That's pretty cool. Texter, our buddy Enrique, writes in, Dono, in your honest opinion, who wins that fight between Brock Lesnar and John Bones Jones? I think John Bones Jones wins that fight. I really do. I think Jones, to me, is elusive enough to avoid Brock Lesnar's heavy frame and his takedowns. And then if you can take that away from Brock Lesnar, there's nothing he's better at than John Jones. Would pick him apart. Pick him apart and stop him. I think that's a bad matchup for Brock Lesnar. John Jones is some of the best takedown defense in UFC history. Even Brock Lesnar is not putting that dude on his back. That's a victory for John Jones in a fight I would love to watch, man. If you'd like to get in tonight, share your LeBron James wisdom, your Miami Dolphins wisdom, your Jarvis Landry slander, your Ryan Tannehill slander, via the phone lines, 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, #560 on your cellular, or you can text us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Don't text and drive. Don't be an idiot. 560-22 is how you get us there. All right, so before we go any further, Tito, I got to hear this Jarvis Landry audio with NFL Network. He had already said, last week he had said, the quarterback situation in Cleveland with Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield is a lot better than what I had in Miami. So he was slandering Ryan Tannehill. He offered clarification on those remarks, which I think only made it worse on his and Tannehill's relationship.
With Baker Mayfield, with Drew Stanton, is the best group of quarterbacks that you've worked with. Also suggested that what Tyrod has done, which is work with you guys on the side, build a camaraderie, is not something that happened in Miami necessarily. Right? Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard from Ryan Tannehill?
I have not heard from Ryan Tannehill.
Are you surprised you haven't?
No, I'm not surprised. We didn't really have a good relationship anyway, so I'm not surprised.
All right, so you don't mind looking in the rearview mirror and saying those things about your old team?
I mean, I wasn't trying to look back in the rearview mirror. You know,
I'm
focused on here and, you know, where are we taking it here? And, you know, I wasn't trying to take a shot at him. I understand how hard every guy in this NFL works, you know, especially at the position, especially at the quarterback position. But at the same time, too, you know, I mean, I give credit where credit's due.
Such BS, man. Jarvis Landry, the guy's a fraud. Okay, so he says, no, I'm not trying to look in the rearview mirror. He makes it sound like the questions he's gotten over the last week compelled him to talk about Miami. It's simply not true. When he made the comments about the quarterback situation in Miami, that was completely unsolicited. He's the one who lobbed that out there. Right? When he was asked about his quarterbacks now in Cleveland, Tyrod Taylor, Baker Mayfield, Drew Stanton, he wasn't asked, how do these quarterbacks compare to the quarterbacks in Miami? That wasn't the question. The question was, how do you like these quarterbacks? Jarvis Landry is the one completely on his own who said, it's a lot better than what I had in Miami. You went out of your way to throw that out there, bro. You went out of your way to throw that out there. This is 1,000% petty. 1,000%. And the other reason why I call Jarvis Landry a fraud here is it is completely factually inaccurate to say that Ryan Tannehill wasn't getting guys together for workouts. Because that was what he brought up. This Tyrod Taylor, this is so great. Tyrod Taylor will text his receivers guys, come and work out with me before OTA start. Let's get together, start throwing, get a rhythm going. He made it sound like Tyrod Taylor invented that. Ryan Tannehill did the exact same freaking thing. I can tell you that with 150,000% certainty. Ryan Tannehill does the same thing every March before the offseason program starts. OTAs, minicamp, they start in April into May. Every March, Ryan Tannehill gets his receivers together. Tex Chain, Devontae Parker, Jarvis Landry when he was here, Kenny Stills. Guys, come out. Leonte Carew, Jakeem Grant, let's come out and throw. Let's get ready. Let's do some workouts on our own before OTA start. Ryan Tannehill has been doing that his entire career. His entire career. Jarvis Landry is not only bitter, but he's lying. He's lying. And okay, if he doesn't like Ryan Tannehill, fine. If Ryan Tannehill doesn't like him, not texting him, fine. If there's a personal issue between the two, if Landry is upset that Tannehill's not reaching out to him, that's fine, but don't make stuff up, man. Don't make stuff up about Tannehill not getting his receivers together for workouts. He's been doing that his entire career. It's completely factually inaccurate. And what I see Jarvis Landry doing, and I don't respect this, that he's misdirecting his anger. This is an emotional guy. And full disclosure, his emotions, that's one of the things that I like about Jarvis Landry. I like the fact that when you're struggling, when your team is struggling in a game, you get fired up. I like when you get a big first down to move the chains, you get fired up because that fires up the rest of the team. Now, he went a little bit too far in that Bills game when he got ejected, but a lot of the emotions from Jarvis Landry, that stuff that I liked, I enjoyed that about Landry when he was with the Dolphins, because there were plenty of times you watch that team play. Every lifelong Dolphin fan, every Dolphin fan of the last 15 years knows it. Sometimes you look at that team and it looks like they don't have a pulse. Jarvis Landry always had a pulse, to his credit, always had a pulse on the field. Would get fired up with excitement when things were going well, and would get fired up with anger when things weren't going well. And I think every team needs an emotional spark plug. He was that for Miami. But I think what is happening here is the emotional spark plug characteristics of Jarvis Landry are now causing him to take out his anger on Ryan Tannehill when he's really angry at the Dolphins front office, right? You're angry at the Dolphins front office because you thought these guys were going to take care of you with a long-term extension, and yeah, not so much. They balked on the extension. They put a franchise tag on you, later rescinded it. So you didn't think that they gave you the same treatment that they gave Kenny Stills, long-term extension a couple years ago, Andre Branch, same thing, that you took care of some of these other guys, but it became business with you, and you're upset at Tannenbaum, you're upset at Chris Greer, you're upset at Stephen Ross, you're upset at Adam Gase, that's fine. But I think he's misdirecting that anger when now it's becoming all about Ryan Tannehill. And listen, okay, you don't think Tannehill likes you that much, you don't like him that much personally, that's fine, but you're mad because the guy hasn't reached out to you? If nothing else, you could have also reached out to him, right? Ryan, thank you so much for the 110 catches per year, for targeting me more than any other wide receiver in the NFL has been targeted. Thank you for helping me reach this point in my career. This, by the way, a great stat that Tito sent to me. He slid into my DMs on Twitter and sent me this stat.
Damn right I did.
You did. Yeah, that's right. And how sad is this? Tito is the type of person who slides into my DMs. I don't get like any Instagram models like sliding. It's just producers slide into my DMs. This great stat from Chris Kaufman at CK Parrot on Twitter. Miami Dolphins were 9-22, 9-22 record, and scored just 17.1 points per game when Jarvis Landry was targeted 10 or more times in a game. Meanwhile, they were 16-3 and scored 27.5 points, so 10 points per game better and a ton of games better record-wise when he was targeted six or fewer times. Knows how to flap his gums, though. Got to hand him that. And now, like, he's taking his frustration out on Ryan Tannehill, who, I mean, listen, not a perfect quarterback, but seems like one of the nicest guys in that Dolphins locker room, Ryan Tannehill. And now Jarvis Landry, he's taking out his frustration and his emotions on his quarterback that targeted him more than any other wide receiver in the league. And now it's become Tannehill's problem. Jarvis, just don't make stuff up, man. It's patently absurd and untrue to say Ryan Tannehill doesn't get his guys together to organize workouts. That's one of the things that Tannehill actually does well, is reaching out to his receivers and working out with his guys in March. So come on, man. If you're going to be angry at the Dolphins, don't make stuff up about their quarterback. Landry is just salty that the Dolphins didn't sign him, Texter writes. Very immature, just crying out. Honestly, like, all of this makes me like Jarvis Landry a little bit less, at least a little bit less. It does. This is a guy that I defended a lot over the last couple of years. He's just a slot receiver. You can replace him. Not that, but you hear that from some people. Like, I really did think that Jarvis Landry was an important piece on this Miami Dolphins team, and I wanted him to get that extension. I didn't want him just to hold the organization hostage for number one wide receiver money, but I hoped that Jarvis Landry would still be a Dolphin. But for him to come out so salty, it makes me like him a little bit less. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie about that. 560-22 on Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. How the hell you blame a receiver for a team losing, Texter writes. The stat is there, man. In the games that Jarvis, I'm not blaming him for those losses, but in the games that that he was targeted most, the Dolphins had a worse record. That's going to inspire tonight's top three list, by the way. And I want Tito's help on this, and I want help from the Texters on this. I think it's clear to classify, it's fair to classify Jarvis Landry as a disgruntled former South Florida athlete. Disgruntled, right? Top three disgruntled former Miami athletes.
Love it.
Isn't that a good one?
Love it.
But it's like, I know what's going to happen here, because I was born in 1984. Tito, you were probably born in like 1998. You're so young.
95.
Okay. I was born in 84. So most of my sports reference point began in the 1990s, right? Those are the most vivid memories I have as a sports fan, started in the 1990s. For Tito, probably the early 2000s, right? So I'm going to give you my top three list of disgruntled former Miami athletes, and I'm sure people will have examples of player XYZ in the 80s, player XYZ in the 70s that I didn't even think of, but I will give you tonight my list of top three disgruntled South Florida athletes, and I have good reasons to back up my entire list. You may have others to add, but I think all of mine make sense. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Together is so precious. Together we have grown.
So at 8:40, I'm going to have my top three list, disgruntled South Florida athletes. Former, obviously, because they wouldn't be disgruntled if they still played here. By the way, we have a Hartford Yard Goats update. You remember the guy who was at the minor league game? So, all right, it is going to be tough for the Hartford Yard Goats to get bigger attendance than the Miami Marlins, because according to this texter, Dunkin' Donuts Park is where the Yard Goats play. It only holds 6,121 people. Marlins Park holds 36,742. But tonight, it is Yard Goats bobblehead night. So it could happen, because you know that place is going to be packed. Texter writes in on the Jarvis Landry comments. Last couple of headlines from Landry have filled the pain of losing him. So basically what you're saying is you're really upset when Landry got traded, really upset he's no longer a Dolphin. But the way he's so salty about the team now is making you think, you know what? Maybe I'm at peace with it. Tito, you told me something before the show that I think I agree with this. And maybe this just makes me sound salty and petty, but he started it. This makes me want to root against the Browns even more, which it's kind of tough for me because they've got a lot of former Miami Hurricanes players. So I almost have a soft spot for me to say this about anything in the city of Cleveland is a reach, but I almost have a soft spot for the Browns because they have so many former Canes, but But doesn't this make you, as a Dolphin fan, it makes you want the Browns to go 0-16 again when you see Jarvis Landry flapping his gums? At the very least, I want them to be worse than the Dolphins.
1,000%. And they will be. It's not just, I think they will be. But, like, there's no reason for this. Like, there's no reason for this at all for him to come out and lash against Tannehill like this.
If you're Ryan Tannehill, do you do anything? I would say do nothing. Completely ignore it, right? Like, because some people may say, well, maybe now Tannehill should text him and try and clear the air. I think you can only lose from that. I think you can. And plus, if Landry hasn't shown you anything, I think within the last couple of weeks, you would say, if Tannehill were to reach out to him and try and bury the hatchet or get rid of the beef between the two guys, Jarvis may just come out and instead of squashing the beef, he'll tell the media, by the way, that Tannehill, pathetic, he just texted me. Now he wants to clear the air. Didn't text me before when I got traded, but now that I brought up his name in the news, he's reaching out to me. I think the only thing Ryan Tannehill can do at this point is just ignore it, forget about it, focus on the season coming up, which I'm sure is what he's doing. But to me, it's not worth taking the bait here.
Blow it off. Not worth your time.
Texter writes in, I think he's trying to say that I'm making this a racial thing, which come on. White athletes are called outspoken. Black athletes are called malcontents. Understand, sir, understand what my point is here. The problem that I have with Jarvis Landry is not the fact that he's speaking out, the fact that he's making stuff up. To say that Ryan Tannehill doesn't organize workouts, completely untrue. In fact, I enjoyed Jarvis Landry's nature on the field when the guy would get fired up and be a spark plug for the offense. I don't care what race, what nationality, what ethnicity you are. If you're bad-mouthing your former team to the media and lying about it to make your point, that's an issue for me. Dono, the proof is in the pudding, Texter writes. Thing is, there's no pudding when it comes to Tannehill. He failed to get it done on two good legs. Now what are you expecting? Ryan Tannehill this season, man. This is is this finally the one? I hesitate to even bring this up. But is this finally the season where you discover whether or not this guy can hack it as a franchise quarterback? You know, I think he is, out of 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, I think Tannehill is in the top half. He's right around that 16 line. But if Tannehill can't elevate this team, if Tannehill can't show you that this guy has potential to be a deep playoff quarterback, I think the experiment is over at this point. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Or via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Tannehill is mediocre at best, a texter writes. The peak insanity was reached. Like, yesterday I was tweeting from Dolphins practice. I went out to minicamp practice yesterday. And, you know, when a guy makes a play, we tweet about it. Ryan Tannehill had a couple of long touchdown passes in minicamp, including a 70-yard touchdown to Danny Amendola, about an 80-yard touchdown deep ball thrown to Kenny Stills. And the four quarterbacks that are out there on the field for Miami are Ryan Tannehill, the unquestioned starter, and then the three guys fighting for the backup job. David Fales, who I think is the favorite to be the backup. Brock Osweiler, who threw a pick six yesterday. And Bryce Petty, who's just not good and is not going to make this team. A couple of people, multiple people on Twitter, when I was tweeting about the quarterbacks yesterday, were convinced that Bryce Petty is actually a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. Are you so blinded by your Ryan Tannehill hate that you really think Bryce Petty is better than Ryan Tannehill? And the only reason why Tannehill is ahead of Bryce Petty in the pecking order, in the depth chart, is because there's some politics into this. I get news for you. Bryce Petty can't even complete 50% of his passes. And I would put him probably fourth in the Dolphins pecking order, behind not only Tannehill, David Fales, even Brock Osweiler, Bryce Petty is behind. The Tannehill hate knows no limit, man. No limit. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. A guy texted in saying that he was texting while driving. I highly discourage that, and I hope you were lying about that just to troll me via the text line. Sour grapes from Jarvis Landry is what it is. Sour grapes The Los Angeles Lakers, by the way, now officially the betting favorites to land LeBron James. It's been trending in that direction for a couple weeks, man. It has been trending in the LA Lakers direction, right? For a while, we thought maybe Cleveland is the favorite to retain him. Houston, because they have the best basketball option, I think. Houston would be the best basketball. Well, that's kind of a two-part answer, right? Best basketball option for LeBron. I think Houston would give him the best overall roster. You put LeBron James with Chris Paul and James Harden on a team that already was a breath away from beating Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. If you can keep that team, maybe Clint Capella, if you can find a way to keep him, you keep the band together somewhat and add LeBron James, then that team potentially becomes the favorite in the West. But the West is still such a wood chipper. Or Philadelphia, I think, is the other best basketball fit. You pair LeBron James with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, assuming Ben Simmons can learn to shoot and learn to play off the ball a little bit. If you can make that a basketball fit, that would be an amazing roster staying in the Eastern Conference. So you kind of toggled between. Is he staying in Cleveland? Is Houston the favorite? Is Philly the favorite? They got rid of that clown, Brian Colangelo. Maybe with a better GM, they would have a shot to land LeBron. But if you're reading the tea leaves over the last week or two, the entertainment connections, the fact that he wants to play with one of his banana boat buddies, Chris Paul, or maybe Paul George, who was not on the banana boat, but he and LeBron are very close. They've got room in Los Angeles not only to add LeBron at a max deal, they've got the cap space to add LeBron and another max deal to that mix. So they wouldn't have to make trades and create cap room the way that Houston would in that situation. I caught Dave Hyde with Hawk and Crowder yesterday. I love Hyde. Hit him with the Hyde. But Dave Hyde seemed really confident that LeBron is staying in Cleveland. I don't see it, man. I don't see it. All the frustration. Do you see that, Tito, him staying in Cleveland?
I think it's still very likely, and people are dismissing
really?
It like he's for sure gone. I don't want to say more than likely, but I'm not discounting it yet. I'm really not.
What would be, in your mind, the factors that keep him in Cleveland then?
So, one, I think for him, perception, LeBron's perception has always been very important.
Uh-huh.
And granted, he can make the case, I've won here already. I don't need to continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not only about just winning. It's about, do you want to be perceived as a mercurial athlete? Just going to where it's hot.
Right.
Whereas, if he kind of sticks it out in Cleveland, I feel like there is a little bit of, maybe sportsmanship, but there's a term that I'm looking for where it's kind of it's respect in a way. The league and former league members would respect him for sticking it out. The other two factors are, one, it would not surprise me to see somehow Cleveland get out from all these deals and then maybe be able to make a play for a guy like Paul George.
Mm.
And then they can continue to swing it around with that eighth pick that they have in this year's draft. And thirdly, it befuddles me. It confuses me why he would want to go west. It doesn't make any sense. At least, when you're dominating the East the way he is, and granted, Boston is probably the second best team in the East now, and had they had a guy like Kyrie and Gordon Hayward,
right,
probably would have beat them.
Yeah.
But even then, go to the West, it only gets tougher. So I feel like his best move is to stay in the East. And, you could point to Philly in that circumstance, but even then, the fit doesn't seem as natural as it does. Whereas if Cleveland can find a way to get out from these bad deals to improve the roster, it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take Dan Gilbert selling his future assets once again, but they can do it. I'm more than confident.
I mean, yeah, if he goes to L.A., it would seem like, to what Dwayne Wade said, that it's more about lifestyle than basketball. I know that people would use the same argument for Cleveland. Here's why, it's tough for me to say, it's really tough for me to think he stays in Cleveland. Because I followed LeBron's career for 15 years. And anytime he's left a place, Cleveland the first time, Miami, similar pattern of behavior. Visible signs of frustration. Completely non-committal in interviews. Right, where for the first, because when LeBron first got back, he's been there 4 years now. First couple years back in Cleveland, You would ask LeBron, what about your future in Cleveland? Of course I'm staying in Cleveland. I'm here for life. Didn't I say that in the essay? All of a sudden now, 4 years in, completely noncommittal on his future and is holding them hostage. When you hear about a guy breaking his hand, punching the whiteboard in frustration, which we only know about because he told us about it, I don't think you're airing that dirty laundry if you're happy there. Now, here's the flip side, right? If you're correct, Tito, maybe he brings all this stuff up. Maybe he's noncommittal and he talks about his frustration openly, how he compares these current teammates to the ones that he had the first time he left Cleveland. Like, all these to me are signs that he's leaving. But what if they're signs of him really holding Dan Gilbert hostage to say, Dan, this is how much I hate what's going on here. And you've got to, like you're saying, get out from some of these bad contracts and that trade that they made midseason to fix this. Like, maybe this is him. I don't think that this is what it is, but to play devil's advocate, maybe this is him turning up the pressure on Dan Gilbert to undo some of the things that you guys screwed up in order to keep me here. I think that's possible. I don't think it's likely because the pattern of behavior that he's on is very similar to the patterns of behavior from the summer of 2010 and the summer of 2014. Like, it seems like history is repeating itself here.
Something else that kind of goes into this, and Donna, you know this, is wherever he goes, he's not going to have control of the roster. The only other plausible scenario where that would happen is L.A. And even then...
That could be another reason why he wants to go there.
Right. I mean, that's where I think if there is a like you said, like a favorite that wouldn't be Cleveland, it's got to be L.A. It's got to be them. But I just think him and Paul George, and you could string along some other second-tier superstar, it's not going to be enough. It's really not going to be enough to get out of the West.
So according to Action Network, here are the new LeBron free agency odds. The Lakers are now a sizable favorite at minus 130. Philadelphia plus 325, Houston plus 550, Cleveland fourth on their list at plus 600, Boston plus 750, San Antonio Spurs plus 1450, Clippers plus 2500, Knicks plus 2750, Miami plus 3000. So you're telling me there's a chance. Golden State Warriors plus 5000. Washington Wizards plus 5750. I've never even seen them mentioned in this before. And then Minnesota Timber. Oh, so I guess they've got like half the league in here. Minnesota plus 7,500 and so on and so on. Interesting piece on thebiglead.com on the reasons why L.A. could be his favorite. So why L.A.? Let's look at a few reasons why the Lakers make sense for LeBron and why the odds have shifted. Number one, family. According to former NBA All-Star Gary Payton, LeBron will send his son, LeBron James Jr., known as Bronny, to Sierra Canyon High School in Los Angeles in the fall. And that is regardless, I guess, of whether he goes to L.A., his son is going to be enrolled in Sierra Canyon. But wouldn't it be nice to be near his kid? Lifestyle. Lifestyle goes in hand with family. James owns not one, but two mansions in Los Angeles. Celebrities enjoy the anonymity they get in L.A. compared to other cities. And oh yeah, the weather isn't too bad either. Yeah, if you can get past the drought, that's some of the best weather in the world, man. You know, I know that like the Northeasterners, the snowbirds, they love Florida. I love Florida. I live in Florida. But the best kept secret about Florida is because the snowbirds come down here from the winter to the spring. The best kept secret about Florida is it's unlivable here in the summer, right? I mean, for those of us who are not wealthy people living in Montreal, we actually live in Florida all year long. And July and August, it's really difficult to live in Florida, specifically South Florida. Very difficult to live here. The thing that's amazing about like the San Diego, LA weather is it's very livable there in the summer as well. Now, they do have drought issues, which is a whole other thing. But you go to L.A. like in July, August, it's like instead of being 95 degrees, it's like 80 degrees during the day with virtually no humidity. And it's like 65 degrees at night. Like I would consider that to be as close to perfect weather as I've ever been in. Again, except for the fact that they can barely keep their reservoirs full because they don't get enough rain there. But when it just comes to climate, it's fantastic there. So another factor, entertainment business mogul. James' company, Uninterrupted, is headquartered in Hollywood. LeBron is a highly successful entrepreneur who wants to own an NBA franchise. Yes, he can do that from anywhere, but being in LA has its benefits. So those are some of the factors. Texter writes in, this is a great text. You know what? It's so great. I'm going to read it on the other side. The Alex Donoff Show continues here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
And now that it's over, I'll never be sober.
Remember, in a couple minutes, I'll have my top three list. Top three disgruntled former South Florida athletes. Feel free to chime in with yours if you can maybe think about guys that go back farther than my list. Because all of mine are fairly recent. Fairly. I think only one of them goes farther than 11, 12 years ago. You'll understand when we get to that. Texter writes in, 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. The biggest splash for La Drama, a.k.a. LeBron, is L.A. Everything makes sense for him to go there with what his future interest seems to be. Would that mean that he's at least halfway given up on winning championships? More champions. He's won three titles. But if he goes to L.A., where it's far from a sure thing, he wins titles there. Does that mean he's thinking more about, it's really time to start planting my seed even further in Hollywood? I've got the Uninterrupted. I've got a production company. I'm a mogul. This is where I need to be to start the next phase of my career, but I'm still not done playing basketball. But wouldn't it be nice? Because one thing, Tito, that we can't forget is Los Angeles Lakers, I would argue the most iconic brand in the NBA, right? I know people in Boston would argue the Celtics. Delusional Knicks fans would argue that their brand, which has been irrelevant for decades, is the most relevant. No, to me, the Los Angeles Lakers, the most iconic franchise, most iconic brand in the NBA. It might mean something to LeBron, even if I'm not guaranteed to win championships going here, because we're on paper, we're not better than the Golden State Warriors. To me, to end my career with the most iconic brand in basketball, one of the most iconic brands in American sports, period. Put them up there with the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox. Like, they're in that stratosphere. That could be part of his criteria as well. That even if I'm not guaranteed to win here, I can still become another part of the rich history of the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think enough time has been removed a few years now from Kobe Bryant's retirement, that it's not like he's right in Kobe's shadow anymore. It almost makes too much sense, except for the part that, oh yeah, you're not automatically better than the Warriors. When maybe if you go to Houston, you would be, or maybe if you go to Philadelphia, you at least stay in the Eastern Conference and you have a fighting chance that you're not so beaten up by the time you fight Golden State in the NBA Finals that you might have a shot there. But other than that, L.A. seems like the perfect fit for me, man, the perfect fit. So in honor of Jarvis Landry, in fact, before we get to this list, Tito, can we hear the Jarvis Landry audio from NFL Network one more time? Just so people understand, the sour grapes from this guy. Jarvis, who I enjoyed his time with the Miami Dolphins immensely. I'm one of the people who defended him despite the 8 yards per catch, right? Like, I'm one of the people who defended the guy despite the fact that that he wasn't scoring. Excuse me. I nearly choked and died live on the radio. Like, I defended Jarvis Landry, and I wish he was still a Miami Dolphin, but some of the bitter things he said about his quarterbacks and about his former club are making me want to distance myself from the guy. Here is Jarvis Landry on NFL Network talking about his relationship with Ryan Tannehill.
With Baker Mayfield, with Drew Stanton, is the best group of quarterbacks that you've worked with. Also suggested that what Tyrod has done, which is work with you guys on the side, build a camaraderie, is not something that happened in Miami necessarily. Right? Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard from Ryan Tannehill?
I have not heard from Ryan Tannehill.
Are you surprised you haven't?
No, I'm not surprised. We didn't really have a good relationship anyway, so I'm not surprised.
All right. So you don't mind looking in the rearview mirror and saying those things about your old team?
I mean, I wasn't trying to look back in the rearview mirror. You know, I'm focused on here and, why are we taking it here? And, you know, I wasn't trying to take a shot at him. I understand how hard every guy in the NFL works, you know, especially at the position, especially at the quarterback position. But at the same time, too, you know, I mean, I give credit where credit's due.
Well, you were trying to take a shot at the guy. Nobody ever asked you, how do your quarterbacks in Cleveland compare to your quarterbacks in Miami? That was not a question. The question was, how do you like your quarterbacks in Cleveland? He's the one who said, it's a lot better than what I had in Miami. And now he's the one saying that, oh, we didn't have a good relationship, me and Tannehill. And Jarvis Landry said that, oh, unlike Tyrod Taylor, who gets everybody together for workouts, Ryan Tannehill was never texting and calling us to get together. It's a lie. It's a complete lie. Ryan Tannehill's entire career has gotten his receivers, Jarvis Landry included when he was here, has gotten his receivers together in March to throw before OTA started. Fiction, complete fiction. So I now consider Jarvis Landry one of the more bitter former South Florida athletes. It is time for my newest top three list.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Top three disgruntled or bitter former South Florida athletes. You know, Tito, before the show, I was asking Channing Crowder about this because, you know, because he played for, what, eight years with the Miami Dolphins, locker room full of guys. Can he ever remember somebody really being bitter after their time in Miami came to an end? And I'll explain why this guy didn't make my it should be kind of obvious why he didn't make my top three list, but Crowder's suggestion was Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor was very disgruntled when Bill Parcells cut him, essentially for doing Dancing with the Stars. We don't need you here anymore. Cursing, you know, Taylor, not this type of guy, but like cursing in the locker room on the way out, MFing people. Was very disgruntled, but to me, it was hard to put JT on this list because he ended up returning and playing for the Miami Dolphins not once but twice. I don't know. I think he ended things on fantastic terms while still playing with the Dolphins. Like, he was really disgruntled strictly towards Bill Parcells, not really towards the Dolphins organization. Like, Jason Taylor never dragged the Dolphins organization through the mud. I thought that was an interesting suggestion, but I just, like, to me, I don't know. I have such warm feelings towards Jay. Like, I would say the same thing about Alonzo Mourning, right? Like, Alonzo Mourning had a pretty messy breakup with the Miami Heat in 2003, but he ended up ending his playing career here and winning a title and is now an employee of that franchise. It's a little bit different to me, so I didn't put him on the list either. But my number three, yeah, Jarvis Landry did make my list. Jarvis Landry makes my list at number three. Talking trash now about Ryan Tannehill and the quarterbacks when I think if Landry was being honest, like, he should be talking trash about Mr. Ross, about Mr. Tannenbaum, about Chris Greer, and about Adam Gase. Those guys are the reasons why he's not with the Dolphins anymore. It's not Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was not the guy who got him traded. Ryan Tannehill was not the guy who kept him from getting a long-term extension. These sour grapes to me from Landry, I think he's misdirecting his anger at Ryan Tannehill and the quarterbacks when his real beef is with the Dolphins front office and the Dolphins brain trust. I hope someday we get over it, but, you know, knowing Jarvis a little bit, I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to soften his stance. I think he's firmly entrenched in the petty. That's my number three. Number two. Now, I do get it that this guy has recently, you know, nearly a decade, well, a decade after his playing career here came to an end, did end up mending fences and getting his jersey retired, but that's not the same as the Jason Taylor or Alonzo Mourning category. I put Shaquille O'Neal at number two. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, Fat Shaq, when he got traded to Phoenix, he throws the Miami Heat training staff under the bus, besmirched the name of Ron Culp, one of the greatest NBA athletic trainers of all time. Pat Riley gets thrown under the bus. Chris Quinn got thrown under the bus. Shaquille O'Neal had a pretty bitter, disgruntled exit from the Miami Heat. And that's one that will always stand out to me. Shaquille O'Neal's exit was one of the least graceful we have seen here in South Florida sports. Number one, and by the way, some good text suggestions are coming in. Very good text suggestions coming in. But my number one, and I'm going to have to give you a little context from this in case y'all forgot, but my number one is Kyle Wright, former Miami Hurricanes starting quarterback, who this guy was Mr. California football, top recruit coming out of high school in 2003. this was supposed to be the next great installment to quarterback you, that you would talk about Kyle Wright in the same breath that you spoke about Walsh, Testaverde, Kozar, Toretta, Dorsey, that the next name that would come to mind would be Kyle Wright. His playing career did not work out at Miami. You know, playing for Larry Coker, I'm sure didn't help him. Having four different offensive coordinators, I'm sure didn't help him. But why I put Kyle Wright on the disgruntled list is this guy was so bitter about his failed time at Miami, which was a failure not only for him, but the team around him. He actually testified in the Nevin Shapiro case, while he was not legally compelled to do so. Full list of allegations. Nevin Shapiro got me into a Snoop Dogg concert. Nevin Shapiro got me a paid long weekend in the Bahamas, impermissible benefits. He helped that case against Miami in the Nevin Shapiro scandal. So tell me about all those allegations that Ken Dorsey lobbed against Miami for the Nevin Shapiro scandal. You won't find a single one, whether anything happened or not. I think there's a reason why players who enjoyed their time at the U weren't testifying against Miami when they were not legally compelled to do so. This was not a criminal court case. He did not have to volunteer information of impermissible benefits. I believe Kyle Wright did that, volunteered it, because he was bitter about his time at Miami. I will never forget that. That Kyle Wright, who, by the way, does not go out of his way to represent the U a decade after his career here was done, because I don't think he's proud of his time here, and I think that's why he felt compelled to testify against this university. So to me, that sticks out as being disgruntled and petty, the fact that he helped that BS Nevin Shapiro case. So that's going to keep troubling me. Here's another good suggestion, though, Tito, a texter writes. Jay Ajayi. Although, like, didn't Jay Ajayi get the last laugh when he won a Super Bowl?
That was my number one.
That was your number one? All right, so give me your list then. I'm sorry I spoiled that.
All right, so I went a little off the trails here, but I stayed in the same realm. My number one was Jay Ajayi. Obviously, everything that kind of transpired, the Gaste comment where he basically highlighted the letters G-A-S-E and Gaste. That was like a clear him doing the no comments.
And you know what, though? You know what? That really is a great one, because Jay Ajayi should not have needed to say anything, right? You get traded to a team that wins a Super Bowl. You are an important part of a Super Bowl winning team. That should be enough, shouldn't it? Like, you shouldn't have to be taking pot shots at your former coach on Instagram. I think doing, you know, that should have been my number one, right? Because you did your talking on the field. You got to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. To then feel compelled to go out of your way to trash Adam Gase on Instagram, that to me, that may be the winner right there.
Yeah. He's definitely had some bitter grits about that.
No doubt.
Number two, and this is a kind of a weird one, but Brent Grimes, because Miko Grimes made some comments about the Dolphins following his departure.
Yeah.
She didn't have some nice things to say about this team.
You're right. We haven't heard a peep from Brent, but we've heard plenty from Miko.
Yeah. So I kind of consider them a tag team. And then my third one is a tag team as well, but it's Al Golden and Alex Figueroa. Now, Al Golden, following his firing, basically said that, when he got to Miami, he was burned out.
That's right.
You know, that they basically hit him with the cloud of the NCAA investigation, and he had no means of being able to really have success here, which is a complete joke.
That's a great one.
You know, like, completely selling out and talking trash about when we tried to give him a great opportunity. He blew it. And then the third one's linebacker Alex Figueroa, who Golden recruited, was kicked off the team. He was kicked off the team because he committed a sexual assault. And then he posted a Facebook video of him burning his UM flag.
I totally forgot about that.
Talking about how, it's not about the U anymore.
Wow.
Screw the U, all that stuff. So that's my top three. I figured those, you know, they have a special place in the bottom of nowhere for me.
That's a solid list, man. I can remember how mad I was at the burned out comment from Al Golden. I mean, come on. And that's another guy. You're never going to see him acknowledging Miami's colors or wearing the U colors ever again. Man, great salesman, though. Like, Al Golden made me feel important when I was in a room for the guy. I can imagine what he did for recruits. Like, right? Like, I was someone who was never going to play for him. Yet, so I can imagine when he got in those living rooms, the smiles must have been incredibly plastic and fake. Texter writes in, honorable mention, Chris Bosh. He was headed in that direction before he came to his senses. Yeah, if he had actually gone like to full court press litigation against the Miami Heat for the blood clots thing, he would have gotten a spot on it. But he's right. It never got far enough to be bitter grapes from Chris. I thought a nice touch, though, from his disgruntled nature. When they were doing one of those players-only broadcasts, and, you know, they had, like, the former players, they had the jersey in a locker, like, Paul Pierce would have, like, a Celtics jersey, like, hanging in a fake locker, and in Chris Bosh's locker, it was a Raptors jersey, which seemed like a shot at the Heat.
I did not know
that. Yeah, this was, like, probably, like, a year and a half ago. This was before, again, this was before they mended fences, but, and that had to be on purpose, right? Like, because when you're looking back on Chris Bosh's career, like if Chris Bosh were to get into the Basketball Hall of Fame, does he go in wearing a Raptors jersey? No. I mean, you remember him as a Miami Heat player, right? You remember the team that he won two championships and played with four finals with. But no, he had the Raptors jersey hanging in his locker. So you did almost get to that point with him. Texter writes in, I think he's referring to Ryan Tannehill, but he drops my name in here. Dono, when you don't win, people will say a lot of crap about you. Tannehill? Dono, now that you've won best show on AM radio, don't you think you're getting more respect from your peers? Winners versus losers. Well, okay. Maybe. I don't know. Am I getting more respect from my peers? I don't know if I am or not. But he's saying that Ryan Tannehill has not earned the respect in football that I have earned on the radio. Oh, this is a fan. Did you just see the text that I saw? This is the new number one.
Yes.
Number one on the disgruntled South Floridians list, Manny Chang. This guy, as soon as he starts dating a Florida State fan, what does he do? He gets his University of Miami tattoo covered up. That is the ultimate. That right there is the ultimate, man. And it goes to show you, man, be careful the tattoos you get, because you never know when you may want to change that. Manny Chang, number one disgruntled. I love that. 9 o'clock hour, the Alex Donner Show coming up next year on QAM.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.